time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, the Boilermakers are back in familiar territory after a 76-62 win over McNeese State. They now advance to the Sweet 16 for the sixth time in 8 years. And while, Sim, it wasn't the most pretty game offensively, it's really kind of harder to argue with the results. And the one thing that really stuck out to me that we talked a little bit in the preview pod was Purdue really jumped on McNeese State from jump and really kind of never gave them a chance to get going. And that seemed to kind of be the difference in the game there.
Yeah, man. The way they came out, I'd probably say I'm you know, obviously without actually having gone back and watched it, but like I think it probably was the first like 8 minutes of the game, the way that we were locked in on both sides of the ball. I mean, just from even that opening play, you know, they run what was it? They run some screen action down low, you know, McNeese State switches and they switch and he gets a smaller guy on Trey. Braden throws it into Trey all like towards the baseline, quick dunk. And it just seemed as though we were just so keyed in on both sides of the ball. Like you said, when you look at the box score, you know, there's obviously stats that stick out, most notably like the 19 turnovers. So of course, like you said, it wasn't necessarily the most aesthetically pleasing game, but it was very much so a game where from the jump, you could tell we were keyed in and like we were able to take control of it early. And I think it was, yeah, like you said, like we talked about, you know, you have to, like we present our own batch of issues. And so being able to come out and immediately put them on their back foot and make them have to come catch us and have to execute offensively. You had mentioned it about how like offensively it's not like they're necessarily capable of scoring. Like they have to turn you over to really be able to score. And when you're taking care of the basketball the way that we were in that first part of the game and you're hitting shots, then all of a sudden, because I felt like it was, yeah, we got to like, I think it was the under 12 and all of a sudden we were up like 14. And I was like, oh, okay, like down, like I'm with this, like let's go. So yeah, it was just nice to see the way that we came out and just were like very much so like, nope, like McNeese, like this is great. Your 19 wins in a row, that's been great, but that ends today. And in its own way, it was like a weird way of it was a weird brand of like stress free basketball, because like they had the lead, and I kind of felt anxious of like, oh man, like maybe they might like. Is the drought coming? Are they going to go on some type of run? But they never really did. And so even when we went on scoring droughts, and even if we were like, we had some stretches where we were turning the ball over, we still like still looked up and okay, the lead's still like 10 or 12. And then obviously I think we got the lead up to what, as high as like 26 at one point.
Yeah. Wait, so, yeah. So you were anxious about that?
About
I'm
what?
Shocked. No, but you are right. Like,
before.
just a really solid overall game, and kind of what we talked about was like at the end of the day, especially now, it doesn't matter how it looks. Like, just get the job done. And not only did they do that, but to your point, in relatively stress-free fashion. So sign me up every time. And I did just want to say too, like for all the people that said that, like it's an easy road for Purdue to be 2 double-digit seeds. There were a lot of people who had Purdue getting upset in both these games.
Seth
so
Davis.
You can't have it both ways and say that, oh, Purdue's going to get upset. And then when they win, say, oh, they had an easy road.
Right.
But I digress. The other kind of big thing, and it was in both games really, and it's kind of what we've been talking on and what we've been harping on and what we'll probably talk about when we look ahead to this game against Houston, and like how Purdue is going to have to play in order to try to knock off Houston. And it's really been the play of Miles and Cam. We tend to kind of look at them, like share their stats in a way. And if we want to do that again, Miles and Cam gave you 13 points, eight
And 8
rebounds,
points.
3 of 6 from three. I don't know about you, Sim, but I'm taking that every day of the week.
Yeah, man. I mean, we go back to, go back, like you said, we've talked about it all year, and you look at the games really since the Big Ten tournament. You look at that USC game, I believe they combined for 17 and 16. Obviously, yeah, the High Point game, I from not remembering the numbers off the top of my head, but yeah, if you're getting 13 and 8 out of those guys, it only helps our chances, because I think it not even just the fact of the numbers, hey, but they need to have like 20 and 20 and 15 per se, but it's just like if they hit shots early, they are two people who A, the def like the opposing team has to worry about on defense now. They have to. You don't get a like you really have to stay key to your man. So if that means that you have to stay that extra step closer so you're not there to help, that makes all the difference. It maintains that spacing. And then I think too, if they're when they're doing that, I think it gives paint the ability to be able to play a smaller lineup. I believe it was what in the High Point game where Cam was out here, but was playing out of his mind. And so I think he ended up playing like 30 some minutes. And you can do that because he's giving you something that in this instance, Caleb isn't. And that's offensive production, the ability to be able to hit outside shots. And that just I think it bodes well for us when we're able to have more lineup combinations that just have five guys out there who can absolutely who can score and defend. And I'm really proud of Miles and Cam for the way that not so much the scoring. I feel like the them starting to hit the outside shots, that's kind of like law of averages. Like they've had good looks, even when they were struggling, they were having good looks. But the thing for me that I'm most happy with them is really the way that they've rebounded. And like Cam only had two this last game, but he also had four fouls, so wasn't really out there. But Miles had six, and he was out there for almost 24 minutes. And Trey said it after their first game about how those are two guys who they can't allow their offense to impact the other parts of their game. So if they're not hitting shots, that doesn't like they still need to be locked in defensively. They still need to be trying to crash the boards. So when I see those stats, I see the rebounds, that's always what kind of really warms my heart, because I'm like, yes, like that's what we need. Like it's everybody's involved in getting these rebounds. Everyone is with their size and their athleticism. There's no reason why each of them can't be getting, upwards 5, 7 rebounds a game. There's like I feel like that's not necessarily asking a lot from those two.
Yeah, I would agree. And we'll probably talk about it more later in the episode when we talk about the game against Houston, but you're going to need the same type of effort here come this weekend
Yes.
as well from those two. And speaking of the same type of effort, let's talk about CJ Cox just a little bit. We had mentioned in the game against High Point how he was kind of returning home and getting a chance to play. I think it was like within an hour from his hometown there.
Yeah.
And man, did he get a chance to show out in front of the home crowd. 11 points, 3 of 4 from the field, knocked down both threes that he took. Also had 2 assists, 0 turnovers, defended really well. This was a game, this was probably his best game in a while, and it was just good to see him, and him and Jakari, and I guess Payne always talks about how, like, at the end of the year, freshmen really don't seem like freshmen because they've been through so much stuff already. But man, he did not really seem to be bothered by the moment, at all, and it just played a really good overall game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he was good. Yeah, even for the stats that weren't there. I mean, he played 20 minutes. He didn't have any turnovers, which, as we talked about, as a team, we had 19, and he was one of two guys who didn't have a turnover. It was him and Fletch. So he definitely played a lot better, like you said. Maybe it was the fact that he was playing close to home, but he, a really efficient game. And you like that for him in terms of his confidence in him and Jakari. And Jakari had five boards coming off the bench, and he only played 15 minutes. You just, again, like, you like what you're seeing. I know you were talking about CJ, but like, but just between the both of them, kind of going back to what you said, like, you mentioned what Paint said, is that, like, towards the end of the season, they're not necessarily playing like freshmen. At least you're hoping that they're not playing like freshmen. And I definitely feel like with both CJ and Jakari, they have had moments in just this tourney run where they have very much so felt like looked comfortable in the moment. Like, yeah, you're not going to be perfect, but like being able to play through the highs and the lows and just kind of continuing to kind of stay even keel and just play, and remembering assignments and making sure that, you're doing your job out there. So it was nice to see. And it was nice to see CJ particularly have a good game, especially shooting. I feel like he hasn't had one a good shooting game in a bit. But yeah, I mean, like, you like that. And just like, we're gonna talk about more in depth later. He's one of those guys, essentially all of the others, who are gonna need to play as well, if not better, than how they played against, really this past weekend.
Yeah, 100% agree there. One other guy I want to talk about before we talk about the man of the game, and that's Fletcher. His stat line wasn't the best. He finished 4 of 12 from the field. He ended up finishing with 15 points, 3 of 10 from three, but two things about that, Sim, and I think you would agree that I really don't have an issue with any of the threes he took. They all were pretty good
Yeah,
looks.
dude. Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, we're in agreement as well, where we want Fletch to shoot the ball more. So I really don't have a problem with him taking 10 threes. I guess I can't really off the top of my head think of any that were like really bad shots. A few just didn't go down, but I feel like Purdue offensively is just a much better team when he's shooting the ball from three.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. He was 3 of 10, but I think we can all agree that he probably could have been like 7 or 8 of 10 because, yeah, like you said, I think he might have had one or two that were like more contested, or I think like at the end of the shot clock. But outside of that, I feel like 7 or 8 of the looks he had from three were like wide open. Like really good looks, ones that you would take, every day of the week. And yeah, him getting, I'm more okay with him, like, seeing that he just took 12 shots, took 10 through, like, and 10 of those being threes. Obviously, like we said, the looks were good. I'm okay with him being aggressive because he's a guy to me who, like, if he can see the ball go down a few times, I mean, if he can knock down a couple shots early on in the game, again, that's an issue that becomes a heightened issue for a defense. It becomes a heightened issue, and also I feel like then it allows him, especially if he's knocking down threes early, that allows him to be able to ball fake and then drive and be able to kick. I mean, he had five assists even despite like how he shot. But yeah, I don't have a problem with it, man. Like, I see his stat line and like it's not, yeah, it's like 4 of 12, 3 of 10 from three. That's not like great. Obviously, we'd like for him to hit more, but given the looks that he had and the fact that he was just getting the shots up, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and to your point too, five assists and zero turnovers.
Yep.
So like it's not just like he was spotting up and shooting. He was working in the offense. And the shots for him didn't necessarily fall, but he needs to take those shots, and we've been asking for him to do that. So you just hope that come this weekend he knocks down a few more, because we will definitely need that. But Sim, let's talk about Mr. Trey Kaufman-Wren, because he had himself a ball game. And for anybody who's just starting to watch Purdue, everybody probably, of course, has heard of Braden Smith, and deservedly so. But I don't think people across the country realize how good Trey is and how good of a year Trey has been having. And man, did he let a national audience know with his game this weekend. 22 points, 15 rebounds, 7 of 12 from the field, 8 of 10 from the line. I
Six or
mean,
seven
it's
fouls.
really hard. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to nitpick anything he did. Like, the man was on a mission, and he just could not be stopped.
Yeah, no, I mean he had an efficient and dominating game. And I've talked about it at the top when we were first, we first started up about from the first play of the game, how keyed in we are, and how, like, I feel like Trey was very, from the outset, it was like, all right, if y'all don't guard me, like, I'm working everybody here. Like, everybody can get it. As they were switching, it was like, oh, so you want to turn? All right, bet. Like, he was so good. I mean, offensively, and like you said, it seemed, especially with the way that these postseason awards have come out, or like finalist lists, and you've seen the list that he has and hasn't been on, and you really, yeah, you do question, like, man, like, are people not aware of what he's been doing this year? But yeah, in that game, in that setting, especially again in a game where I think a lot of people were rolling with McNeese State, figured that we wouldn't be able to be effective with Trey and Braden, that connection. And Trey was like, yeah, I don't know about that, but no, like, it was a really, really strong performance from him. I mean, yeah, the only thing I would nitpick at him for were the two turnovers that he had. But everything else, I mean, he had a block, he had a steal, he had three assists, he drew seven fouls, he only had two. Like you said, he was 8 of 10 from the line, 15 boards. I mean, that's an All-American performance, if we're being honest. It's an All-American performance in terms of the way he filled the stat line. And if you watched the game, you would have seen in terms of the impact and the way that he really, really wreaked havoc. Even when he didn't have the ball, I mean, excuse me, even when he wasn't, when he didn't have the ball to score, because I know there are a few times where he had the ball at the high key, I mean high post, and at the high post, and he kicked it out. And I think one time Fletcher splashed a three, another time Miles splashed a three. He was incredibly effective, man. It was a really nice performance to see from Trey, and for us as Purdue fans, obviously, I think we should be we're almost. It's like, in a weird way, you're kind of used to Trey putting on like special performances, but I think even this one in itself kind of had a different breath to it.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It just felt like a very dominating performance. And, Trey has been a guy who's kind of flown under the radar a little bit. And this game, it really just felt like he put his stamp on this game and was like, all right. And I did want to just highlight too, with this game, he became the eighth player in school history to have at least 700 points in his season. He now stands at 709 points, which ranks 10th all time in a singles season. So shout out to Trey. And did just have one other stat. You guys know I normally drop like a Braden stat for like a first time in school history. But how about this? I actually got one for Trey. So with Trey's game, he is the first Purdue player to have at least 22 points, 15 rebounds, and three assists in an NCAA tournament game.
The
So,
first Purdue player to do that.
yes, sir.
It's crazy because the guy last
So
year was pretty damn good.
you think of all of the bigs that have come through, because obviously with that stat line to get 15 rebounds, it's probably going to have to be from a big. And all of the bigs that have come through here, and nobody did what Trey did over the weekend. So shout out to Trey, man. Want to make sure he gets his flowers, because national media's been sleeping on him, man, and they are doing him a disservice. And like you said, this one kind of felt maybe a little personal, where Trey was like, all right, I got something. Got something for y'all.
Right. Hopefully have something on
But
Friday too.
let's hope. So that's a good lead into this weekend, Sim. So, we kind of talked about how I think you were in agreement with me where like the goal was always get to the second weekend. And now we're at the second weekend, and it's right there. It's a perfect opportunity But it's a perfect opportunity in a way that we're probably not used to. And you know, we always talk about like the golden era, and you know, how we're, you know, just going through this great run. And part of that is because we're always the higher seed, we're always kind of expected to win. Now here, as we go to Indianapolis as the underdog, all the pressure, like you said, is going to be on Houston. Man, it just seems like kind of a perfect opportunity for Purdue here when it seems like not a lot of people are giving them a shot.
Yeah, man, I think that I think that this game presents a very unique opportunity for Purdue. And like you said, just in relation to how things have been the last few years, where it's just felt like we've had all this pressure because we're supposed to win. And it's like, yeah, it's in Indianapolis, but also like you're playing the one seed, so it's like, fuck it. Like you know, let's go out there, let's fucking see what happens. And you know, they're in a situation, I believe, too, where you come out kind of like you did in that McNeese State game. You come out keyed in and you're able to knock some shots down and you make Houston have to come catch you. You know, as the game goes later, as you know, as the game goes, gets later and later, you know, I think we talked about this before the tourney started about how when you're the lower seed, the crowd more and more goes to your side because it's like, hey, we want to see the upset now. Like, let's go. And then you add on the fact that you're in Indianapolis, so there'll probably be a pretty strong Purdue contingent anyways. I don't know, man. You get to that under four, and all of a sudden it's like, huh, oh, like we're up by a possession, or you're only down a possession. You never know, man. You never know.
Yeah, you don't. And you know, this not to say that it's going to be easy at all,
Oh, it certainly won't be.
because
No.
Houston is a very good team. They are the Big East conference champ. I'm sorry, the Big 12 conference champs, the Big 12 tournament champs. They've been, you know, up probably top five, I would guess, probably the whole year, right around there. They were number one at one point. Not sure exactly, you know, if they've been multiple times, but I know they were at least at one point. They got a really good guard. That'll be probably one of the most exciting matchups, is going to be LJ Cryer going up against Brayden Smith, probably, you know, two of the most elite guards in the country. But man, just as a team, Houston really defends the basketball. They lead the country in points allowed per game. So they allow
58 points, I mean
58.4
50.4.
points.
Yeah. Oof.
And they hold you to shooting the ball at 38%, which comes in fifth best. So they really guard you. They don't necessarily turn you over as much. But they guard you and they're really good rebounding. So they make you take tough shots and then they rebound the ball and they get in and go. So, you know, it's gonna be a game where you're gonna have to obviously take care of the basketball. But you're really gonna just kind of have to be patient too. And just, you know, value possessions. And kind of like what Payne talks about, just make the smart play, because they will really frustrate you, on the defensive end.
Yeah, no, I think the value in the basketball is going to be extremely important. I think, you know, as we're getting into our offense, we're running our stuff. I think, you know, being smart about s smart, you know, strong with your passes, that's going to be imperative because when you have a defense, when you have a defense like Houston's, they're not going to give you good looks, you know. So you're going to really have to be keyed in terms of how we're, you know, how we're running our running things on offense, to make sure that yeah, if a guy's getting an open look in this game might not look like an open look, you know, in previous games. You know, you might have like half a step, and that might be what's open. But if it's the right shot, you know, obviously you got to take it. But yeah, it's all, and yeah, I mean, just given the fact that it's a Sweet 16, it was always going to be a larger ask in terms of like what you're asking, you know, this team to do. And this Houston team is really, I think, in my opinion, I don't know if I imagine you would agree, it's a they're a pretty significant step up from their first two opponents. Because as you said, they've been like a top five time, excuse me, they've been a top five team this entire year. So yeah, I think value in the basketball. and, rebounding. It'll be those accessory things that will really swing, I think, the outcome of this game.
Yeah, and I think the one thing too on the defensive end is you're gonna have to guard the three. Houston is a team that can really shoot the basketball. They got three guys on their team who shoot it
Shoot
better
perfect.
than 42% from three. And those are like numbers where they're shooting more than like five threes. So
I
they're
was gonna say,
getting
yeah, they're not guys who shot
volume.
like 10 threes all year. They've
Right.
shot over 100.
So you really got to guard the three. And then if you can just get some turnovers and try to get some easy points, Houston is one of the best teams in taking care of the basketball as well, averaging about nine turnovers a game. So those two things, man, if you can get some easy baskets, and really guard the three, because they got some guys that can flat out shoot it.
Yeah, man. You think the I've been that was another thing actually I've been kind of impressed about with Purdue the last these first two games has been the way that they've guarded the perimeter. Granted, the both neither McNeese State or High Point were actually like pretty good from 3-point range. I think in both instances, the McNeese and High Point, they only had one guy who shot like I think even either around or over 40%. And as you mentioned, Houston's got three. So that perimeter defense to me is going to be extremely important, getting guys off the 3-point line, because if a couple of those guys get going, like again, it could get bad quickly.
Yeah, that's really, I think, is what it's going to come down to, is the 3-point shooting on both sides of the ball. Can we defend the three, and then can we have some guys knock down some shots? Ideally, Fletch, but you're going to need those others, as we like to call them. They're going to have to knock down some threes. You got to think that Houston's probably going to trap Brayden a lot. They're probably gonna double Trey, and make the others kind of beat them. At least that's what I would do if I was trying to
I was gonna
defend.
say, man, I would do that. That would be my game plan.
So this is really a game where you're gonna need those guys, and they don't all have to just, all come out and go 8 of 8 from three, but they need to at least knock down some shots to keep the defenders honest. To really kind of free up Brayden and Trey. And so, you're gonna look at guys like Miles, Cam, Jakari's, CJ. It feels like a game where they're gonna get a lot of time anyway, just because of how we're gonna have to defend on the other end. And you're gonna need them to knock down some shots.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Like we were kind of alluding to it earlier, when we were talking about we're calling out, each of the individual guys, CJ, Jakari, Cam, Miles. Like they all need to play as well, if not better, than how they played, this past weekend. I would argue that, Cam and Miles have to both probably hit a couple threes. Jakari's got to hit one too. You need CJ to hit a couple. You need those guys knocking down shots, because it's really an all hands deck. It's an all hands on deck affair on offensively. Just like obviously it was going to be on defense, but very much so. Like it can't be, oh, he hits one bucket or something like that. Like guys are going to really need to contribute. This is a game where the others really will be able to keep us in this and give us the true chance of being able to pull off the upset.
And we say all that too, Sim, and I'm not sure if you're in agreement with me or not, but this really feels like a game that's not going to be a shootout. It feels like it's going to be a game where Purdue might really kind of try to muddy it up, for lack of a better term, and kind of slow the pace down some. I don't think you want to get in like a run and gun type game with Houston. I think I saw where like the over under on this game was like 132. That feels like almost like the first team to 70 might win this game. So I feel like we're gonna have to kind of slow the pace down some as well. And even I think the other thing too is even if you get down early, is not to panic.
To stay the course.
Houston let Gonzaga back in their game last weekend. Ended up winning by 5, but for a while there, it was a double-digit game, and then Gonzaga kind of made a run late. But if shots aren't falling early, it's going to be vital to just kind of stay the course also.
Yeah, I think especially too especially if they're knocking down shots from the outside. I think it's one thing like if they're like you say you fall behind, but they're just getting everything at the basket. Yeah, don't panic because just need to shore up on defense. But again, especially if it's like if it's I feel like when it happens from the 3-point line and they just start hitting threes, that's when panic can really ensue because you're like shit, like this is getting bad very quickly. But I think we've seen it on our from our own experience with Purdue of like you can start off a game hot from three. And if we just keep going down and like, we're scoring twos and running our offense, you get cold from three, but we're still scoring. So, like you said, not important to be able to keep your calm, keep your composure, even if we do fall behind. I mean, obviously I spoke earlier about how I think the better method, and I think everyone would agree, of course, is if like you jump on them early, you get the lead and you make them have to try to come catch you. But yeah, also, this team is tested and they and you have an I think you have enough guys where they should all know that, hey, look, we get down, it's fine. Like we have time. We gotta get to doing what we need to do on both ends. And you can chip away, chip away, chip away.
I think kind of one interesting thing to look for, and I think it'll kind of be a barometer for if Purdue is in this game or not, is like this 70-point mark in the game. So Purdue has won 34 straight games when holding teams under 70 points. And we just talked about how Houston, averages giving up only 58 points. So points are going to be hard to come by. And that 70-point threshold to me feels like a really important number, because it's going to be really hard to score on the offensive end. So you're really going to have to bring it on the defensive end.
Yeah, I think it would be a shame if against that good of a defense that averages 58 points a game, 58 excuse me, a defense that only gives up 58 points a game. If you were able to score 70, 72, 74 on them and you lose, like you said, that's why I think basket's going to be so hard to come by. I think the defense has to be there. It has to be there. Because I agree with you, man. Like they, I mean, they, I guess I say only average 74 points a game, but the way that they play that defense, being able to score on them is no given. So yeah, if you're scoring, if you're able to execute, that's even somewhat of a, like a an efficient clip. You like the defense is imperative because that puts you in a position where, like you said, it could be the first to get to 60, first to get to 65 wins. You don't want to sit there and have scored upwards of 70 points, 12 over the average of what they give up, and you still lose. Like that would, nah, man, nah. That's gonna be a pass from your boy.
The other kind of stat that I wanted to throw out to kind of watch and kind of be a barometer for if Purdue has a shot in this game, and we talked about him a little bit, and that's Fletch. You're gonna need him to not only shoot it, but shoot the ball efficiently. And just an interesting stat for Fletch. Purdue is 14-0 this season when he makes at least th three three-pointers in a game. And of note, six of those 14 games have come against NCAA tournament teams. So it's not just, blowing out some directional school in the non-con, almost half those times have come against NCAA tournament games. So you talk about Braden, you talk about Trey, you talk about the others, but man, if Fletch can knock down some threes as well, all of a sudden you're feeling okay.
Yeah, you really are, man. You really are. Like you said, he when he hits threes, good things tend to happen, and it very much from the stat you just said, he's had an ability to be able to hit them against better competition, like hit that clip at against better competition, and you need that. You need that, man. Like, he's gonna have to, I feel like he hasn't. When was the last game you feel like he really like kind of went off? I mean, it was probably what, that Rutgers game, right?
Lakers or UCLA too. I feel like he shot the ball well. I think everybody shot the ball well, those two, but those two were probably it for him.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been a few weeks, so I mean, I'll take the words of one Ben Roberts and say, I think he's due, you know?
Hey man, sign me up.
No, yeah, but I mean, yeah, if you can get Fletch going, he's another guy who, if you can get him going early, it really opens up the game for what Braden and TKR can do, man. Because I just think when we knock down shots from the outside early, you can't play the defense. You can't necessarily play the defense you want to play. You can't. You have to be stuck to those shooters, because if they're like you might not have one guy who hits 9 or 10 like a Carson Edwards, but if you let 4 or 5 guys on our team hit 3 or 4, yeah, you're probably losing.
I will say, if anybody wants to have a Carson Edwards type performance, feel free.
Right. Absolutely. If the team
Let
wants to
him
do it
fly,
like
young
the Villanova game, I'm about it.
fella. Let it fly. One kind of interesting tidbit too, just for fun, would be really, really interesting if Purdue was able to get past Houston. And if Tennessee was able to get past Kentucky, another rematch between Purdue and Tennessee in an NCAA tournament game, that would be quite interesting.
I tell you what, man, to find them again would be kind of crazy, man. It'd be kind of crazy. And then also it would be like this, if that were to happen, it'd be the second time like in the Midwest that it happens.
Good point.
Because hell no, third time, because last year was Tennessee up in Detroit. This year it would be Indiana, and then what, in 2018, 19, that was in Louisville.
Yeah, that was the Ryan Smith game.
Sizzler.
But yeah, first things first, though, you got to get past Houston. It'll be a Friday late night tip off. The game is scheduled to start or to tip at 10:09 Eastern time. It probably will be later than that, as Kentucky and Tennessee will play first, and then Purdue and Houston will go after that. So that game seems to be like it's going to be a pretty close game, which generally gets drawn out some. So just be ready that even though it says 10:09, if I was a gambling man, I would be shocked if it started before 10:30 on Friday.
Yeah, I think even Chris Forman, he tweet quote tweeted the like when the post went out and was like, it'll probably be closer to 10:30. So, yeah, if you need to, yeah, prepare accordingly.
Make sure to take a nap, drink some coffee, whatever you got to do. And again, interestingly, it'll be in Indy, but it'll be at Lucas Oil, and not at
What type of station is
Gainbridge.
that? Yeah.
So just of note as well, don't just assume because you see it's in Indianapolis that it's going to be in Gainbridge. It's going to be in Lucas Oil, which I saw some of the pictures on Twitter for how it's supposed to look. And not gonna lie, it does look kind of cool. I still would have preferred it to be at Gainbridge. I wanted to call it Conseco field house, but
You was gonna age yourself real bad with that too. Ooh,
that was
Canseco.
many, many moons ago. But it does, I'm not gonna lie, it does look kind of cool there at Lucas Oil. But for the amount of how much the tickets cost, it should look cool. Because those tickets are not cheap.
Big facts.
But if you are going to go, I hope you enjoy it. I hope that the Boilermakers can give you a performance to remember.
In a
It's
good
going to
way,
be kind
in a good way,
of in a
a
good way.
performance to
That's
remember
good.
in a good way.
It's going to be an all hands on deck, man. Like we said, like Purdue has played, I would argue, probably seen their best two defensive and rebounding games the past two games that we've seen in a really long time. So that bodes well. But to your point, the competition gets a lot stiffer now too. But on the flip side, the competition gets a lot stiffer for Houston as well. So, there's both
There's still
sides
there's
of
I'll
that,
say
but
that, yeah, there's still that side of it, because like I mentioned, before the McNeese State game, like I keep saying it, but we present our own batch of problems. Like I've heard opposing coaches throughout the year talk about just the number of different sets that we've run, and yeah, like we get a week to prepare for them, they get a week to prepare for us, but like I don't necessarily feel like we're the easiest, to scout for. So like you said, like the competition of course is getting harder for us, but it also is getting it's getting better for it's getting harder for Houston. So I know they probably think that they need to be dialed in as well, because the last thing they want to see is, allowing Trey to get busy and get them into foul trouble, and then now all of a sudden they got problems. So yeah.
And it'll be the same crew that called the first two games. So
Lapis and Catalan.
take that for whatever it's worth.
Jim Lapis, he
Was
watches a lot of Purdue. Do you know that?
yeah, he sure does. Was
Hey, yo.
selfishly hoping we'd get Robbie on the call. But nonetheless, as long as we don't get Mr. Jeffrey Anderson officiating the game, I am all for that. The
What about DJ?
officials list came out. I take DJ over Jeff,
Oof.
and Courtney.
I was about to ask about Courtney
So,
next, yeah.
it'll be interesting to see. It stinks that that's kind of one of the things that you look at, but that's kind of the way that it is now.
Well, especially when you have a guy
They.
like Trey. You have to, I mean, it's always gonna be interesting the way he gets officiated, so yeah, it's always a part talking point of the games now, the refs. Shout out to Joe.
Have not seen where those officials are going to go, but have seen where they will be officiating Sweet 16 games. So cross your fingers, cross your toes that they will not be in Indianapolis. But the Boilermakers will be, and they'll be taking on Houston. And we will see what happens. One thing before we do wrap up, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to everybody who joined the First and Goal podcast bracketology group. It's been fun kind of so far to see everybody. Some guys have struggled near the bottom of the bracket. We won't really name names of who's down near the bottom of the bracket, but wanted to give a shout out to at the top. And I apologize, don't know the name, but the name on ESPN is at 509 Boss Man. There's also another guy on here who is tied for first. We don't have to say his name. But I did just want to clarify that 509 Boss Man has Purdue advancing. The other guy who may or may not be talking on this podcast right now has Houston advancing. Stim, as that other guy who has Houston
Wow.
advancing, what do you have to say for yourself?
Obviously off the time, what I'm saying, when I did the bracket, I have faith in my boys to get out of the first weekend, and they did that. But I wasn't I was just more in a competitive mindset. You know, it wasn't so much of like the, I wasn't, you know, Sim the Purdue fan. I was Sim, I want to win. And so let me be very clear though, despite the fact that yes, I do have Houston moving on in the bracket. Purdue, if you want to fuck that up, I'm okay with it. I'm more than okay with it. But I will say, if you do by just beating Houston, please go ahead and take care of the Elite Eight as well. It's a BOGO for me. Buy one, get one. Yes, thank you.
So, just thought that was interesting. Just wanted to bring that up. You know, some people who
Just
root
wanted to
for
bring that up.
Purdue have them winning. Some people who claim to root for Purdue have them losing. You know, each their own. I don't know, but
If
just
you
thought
like
I'd
it, I
bring
love
that
it.
up. But did on his this is a serious note, just want to give a shout out to everybody who joined the group. So thank y'all. Good luck to everybody, as I am the guy that's at the bottom of the bracket, so I don't think I have much of a shot. But good luck to everybody else. Just please make sure that Sim does not win, because I really
Crazy,
don't want
yo.
to hear it
That's
if he
crazy,
does.
yo.
So
That's crazy.
I feel like you've now kind of come, you've like turned into like the Dan Hurley of the bracketology group. It's like everybody just have Sim lose.
Wow, you know what I'm saying?
But
All right, then.
no,
You were
but
able to live long enough to be the
and if
villain.
we
All right,
have
then.
made it to where Siv has been able to quote
Dark Knight.
that, there you go.
I needed it.
Now it's a now it's an official podcast.
I said,
Sim
now
is
we ready
quoting.
now.
But really though, to thank everybody for joining that group. Thanks for the interaction on Twitter. Thanks for all the reviews. Please continue to do all the above. Should be a really fun weekend, man. It gets started on Friday, the last game of the round of 16, Purdue and Houston. 10:09 is the scheduled tip. Believe it's on True TV. Don't quote me on that, but I'm fairly confident it's on True TV. But yeah, man, like we said, Purdue kind of playing with house money here. Playing, you know, within an hour drive from campus. It kind of feels like everything's lining up for a fun underdog story. But now, you know, you got to go take care of business. And you know, like we said, you're gonna need performances from everybody, top to bottom. And you never know, like, who's gonna come out and play well. Like, I don't think either one of us in the High Point game thought we'd be talking about Will Burke.
Right.
So, you
Yeah.
know, who knows, you know, who's gonna step up. But you're gonna need guys to step up and kind of exceed expectations if you're gonna move on. So we'll see, man. Sim, any last thoughts on the game there?
No, make sure you do your alcohol run, you know, early in the day, so that way, you know what I'm saying, you're stocked and ready to go for it. I checked online. It's TBS and True TV. It's gonna be on both channels.
Okay.
I guess that's what they're, that says TBS slash, you know, True TV on the ESPN app. But no, man, I think that, you know, I know for myself, I'll be watching it with a bit of like cautious optimism of just like, man, like I think it's been a while since we've been in this game of like a wow, Purdue can really can like do win a game that would really open people's eyes, which is crazy to say about a team who just went to the national championship game last year.
Very.
And has been ranked for the, you know, again this year for the entire, you know, entirety of the year. But this really is like an opportunity for, it's an opportunity for, I think, like when we talk about the others, I think it's an opportunity for them, like to really be able to step up at the hour that nobody is really expecting them to do. And to be able to put on a performance that, you know, coupled with the performance, the hopefully like expected performances from Braden, Trey, and Fletch, can have us pull off an upset and make it a sensational Friday night. So yeah, I'm just kind of cautiously optimistic, but yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. I just hope that, I hope that Purdue comes out and plays like relatively, I hope that they play well. Like I just really hope they don't come out and just like, you know, for lack of a better language. And I hope they don't come out and like shit down their leg. Like, I really hope that it's not that.
I would agree with you 100%. You brought up a good point where it does feel kind of weird, where like it's almost where like this win would validate Purdue almost as
Right.
one of those top teams. But you're right. They've been doubted throughout this whole tournament, aka Seth Davis, Andy Katz, everybody else.
Right. I mean, they reseeded the top of the Sweet 16. They have us at 15. Like,
You just had
really?
to bring
Bro,
that
I have to. 15? Like, word? So yeah, that's
Yeah,
why
that's
I guess that's why I have that feeling of like that's why I have the, I guess my thought is like this game has a feeling that like it's almost like we're trying to prove ourselves again that like no, like we are an actual good program. Like we really like we're good. Like we're, our record is not some facade. Like yeah, this could happen type shit. So
And I would argue that Purdue used that this weekend as motivation, because you better believe that they heard everybody talk last week about them being an upset pick. I feel like they're going to use that as motivation again, kind of almost thrive in the underdog role. But yeah, I got to believe that ranking and some of this talk out there definitely has been put up on the bulletin board this week as a friendly reminder.
right, just in case you missed out.
But we will see, man. It'll be fun. We said Friday night tip, Indianapolis, Sweet 16, man. It doesn't get much better than that. So enjoy it. Hopefully Boilermakers will give you something to enjoy. But win or lose, Sim and I will be here next week to break it all down. And most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.